Tonight I'd like to share with you Psalms 136. This psalm has to do with giving thanks to God. And David in this psalm is going to encourage Israel to praise God for the things that he's done in their past and to remember who God is. And as I wrap up the message in the end, give the application, that's going to be my same challenge to all of us, to remember specifically what God has done for each of us personally, and then to continue to remind ourselves, both today and in the future, of what God's done for us and who He is in our lives. Mariah read to us the first three verses of Psalm 136, and they say, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever." David here in this psalm is going to challenge the people not to take things for granted, but to take time to say thank you to God for what He's done for them. In my time before coming here as an intern, and even during my intern times, God's been teaching me this lesson in not taking things for granted, by giving thanks to Him and being consistent at it. God taught me this lesson through car troubles, even before coming and during, in which I'd like just to share different aspects of this with you. But back last year, as the summer was coming to a close, and as I was considering to come up here to begin my internship with y'all, I realized that I was going to need a car, and I was going to need to be a better one than the one I had. So I began saving for it and looking on Craigslist and just asking questions and researching. And God, provided for me a car, which I was able to buy for $800, and then the other money that I'd saved up, I was able to invest in getting the car fixed up, ready to go. So this all happened 1 month before I was ready to come up here. So a few days after I purchased this vehicle, there was a rainstorm at my house, and as my family's inside that evening, we heard this loud crash outside, and my siblings ran outside to figure out what had taken place, and they come rushing in, like, "Justin, you might want to go take a look at your car outside." And so I walked out, and there's this thick tree branch that had fallen from one of the trees and was laying on my car. And I go down to my car and inspect it, and there's this huge crack going from one end of the windshield all the way down. My car, and then the windshield frame itself was cracked and damaged, and my response was not the best at that time. I had saved up for that car, I invested in it, and now it was pretty much totaled. I was thinking, "God, how am I going to get to Minneapolis right now? I have a tutoring job here. Am I supposed to get around from the church to my tutoring job?" And all these thoughts, formulated in my mind, and yeah, my response was not the greatest at that time. Time passed a little bit there, and as I calmed down a little bit, I did pray, but at the same time, the thoughts of worry were still there. I was not sure what was going to go on and how I was going to get another car, even how I was going to get back to Minneapolis. And long story short, insurance guy comes out the next day, takes a look at the car, and then calls me over and is like, "Hey, I got some bad news, got some good news." He's like, "The bad news is your car's total." I'm like, "Yep, that's what I kind of figured." And he's like, "The good news is we're going to cut you a check for a little less than $2,000 that you'll be able to go and buy another car for." And I was like, "Hold on a second, are you sure, Mike? I bought this car for this amount. You're giving me more than the amount that I bought it for?" He's like, "Yes." He's like, "I checked out with my boss. Here's the check." And with that check, I was able to buy the current Buick I have, also fixed that up, and God provided for me and got me here safely. That was God's rebuke to me, and not trusting Him at that time and worrying. But God's also going to continue to teach me a lesson using the car I have now in trusting Him, which I will continue to share as the message goes on. But David here in this psalm wants to challenge Israel. Don't take things for granted. Remember who God is and what He's done. And in the passage, David's going to remind Israel, thank God for creation. Thank God for His deliverance from Egypt and the other enemy nations you guys had back in Moses and Joshua's days. And thank God for choosing you as His people. As we read through the passage tonight, I wanted to read it in a responsive reading as it was meant for here in the Psalms. So Jonathan has the passage up here. We're going to read right now from 4 to 9. This talks about David thanking God for creation and challenging Israel to thank Him. And then I'll share a few things, and then we'll read the second part about David, or God's deliverance of Israel from their enemies. So I'm going to read the first part of these verses, and then you guys are going to read the second part, the part that basically repeats itself, "For His mercy endures forever." So starting in verse 4, To him who alone does great wonders. To him who by wisdom made the heavens. To him who laid out the earth above the waters. To him who made great lights. The sun to rule by day. And the moon and stars to rule by night. David, right here in this passage, is taking the time to thank God for his creation and to encourage the nation of Israel to take time to thank God for creating you and for creating the world. David, here in the beginning of this passage, has said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And then David goes on to explain and to tell about who this God is. He's like, "To him who by wisdom made the heavens, to him who laid out the earth above the waters." It says, "To him who made great lights, the sun to rule by day, and the moon, the stars to rule by night." David praises God for his creation of the universe, the sun, the moon, the stars. And today and age, Satan is trying to take away from our Creator God through the theory of evolution and through millions of years that things just happen to come to be. That over a process of time, particles came about and the sun came out and the earth was formed as the way it is. But according to the Bible, that's not the way it took place. God spoke and it was so. In Psalm 33, verse 9, David says that God spoke and it was done. He commanded and things stood fast. The history of creation, how God created the sun, the moon, and the stars is said in Genesis 1, 14 through 19. It says, "Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light to the earth, and it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So evening and the morning were the fourth day." So evening and morning were the fourth day. In Psalm 133, verse 9, God says, God spoke and it was done. God commanded and it stood fast. Evolution will tell us that over a process of millions of years, things just slowly, randomly came into being. That life from small particles just randomly came to be, and that we got the sun, that we got the stars, that we got light, that we got life here, that man came from animals. But the Bible says that God created and that God holds us together. I was watching a documentary called The Privileged Planet. And it was a really cool documentary because in it, there are secular scientists that have gotten together and have done studies, and they've come to the conclusion that there is design here in this universe. And there are many factors that are allowing life to take place here on Earth. They told in this documentary that the sun is just the correct distance from the Earth to where the Earth is not frying up. If we were too close to the Earth, we would fry up. If we were too far away, we would freeze. That here in our atmosphere, we have oxygen. That we can breathe. If we go into outer space, we have to take oxygen with us. And there are so many other factors that contribute to life here that they realize things could not have evolved. All these factors had to be in place all at once. And if one of them was out of place, life wouldn't exist. If we were too close to the sun, okay, we're dead, we're fried. If there's no oxygen, okay, we can't breathe. There are these different factors that are here, and they had to be here all together at once. But at the same time, these secular scientists in this documentary would not acknowledge God is the creator. It is said that we can't explain this, or why is this way. There is a purpose here in the universe. There is a purpose here on earth. That's easy to say, but they would not acknowledge God. David, however, does realize that God is the creator. And he takes the time to say, "Thank you, God, for creating the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth." And he tells Israel, "Thank God for creation. Don't take this for granted." And God was continuing to teach me with my car, not take the daily things in life for granted, but to take time to thank him for a car and a vehicle that runs, that I can take from place to place and transport myself. Thank God for his protection on the road. I got up to here last October towards the end, and 2 days after I got up here, my vehicle died. Pastor Pete was there, and I pulled out of the driveway and decided to stop and give up the ghost there. And I was like, okay, what's going on with my car? And all those thoughts that have been back in South Carolina slowly resurfaced again. How am I going to get around Minneapolis? God provided me with this job, tutoring job here, but now I can't even get to the tutoring job. How in the world is this all going to work out? I wanted to be independent. Now that I have a car issue, I'm going to need now money to take care of the car. I don't know anybody around here, so I don't know a good mechanic or an honest mechanic around the area. And all these thoughts were just floating around my mind as this situation took place. Well, God once again rebuked me, and one by one began to help me out. Through Pastor Pete and Pastor, they recommended me over to JR, who I was able to get my car towed over to his shop, and his mechanic looked at it. And JR's been the first mechanic that's actually sat me down and prayed before he actually started working on my car. He's like, Justin, he's like, we don't know what's going on right now. He's like, we don't even know how this is going to end, but we're still going to pray to God, and we're going to trust him in the situation. That, for me, was very encouraging at the time when I didn't know how it was going to end up. He also, after looking at my car and looking at the problem, said, Justin, it's a miracle that you got up here in the first place because you should have broken down somewhere in between South Carolina and Minneapolis. He's like, that you should be thanking God for there. Well, long story short, JR and his mechanic were able to get my car up and running through the church, through my family. They were able to help me out with the financial situation there. JR was able to cut the cost down a bit. And God, once again, proved himself faithful. He proved himself to me that he was great, that he provides, that he cares. And I was, once again, amazed at how God provided for me in this situation. My car that I have, it's faithfully got me to and from work. God's protected me in the snowy weather that we've had here in Minneapolis. And God's given me this car to get me to and from around the different places here. And David's reminding Israel, don't take things for granted, but thank God for his provisions. David's going to go on now to share with Israel the way that God's protected them and delivered them from Egypt and from their enemy nations. We're going to read now verses 10 to 22. And this is going to talk about God's deliverance from Egypt. I will once again read the first part of the verse, and I would like for you guys to read the continuing phrase, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, and brought out Israel from among them, with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, to him who divided the Red Sea in two, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, to him who led his people through the wilderness, to him who struck down great kings and slew famous kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage, a heritage to Israel, his servant. In here, David gives a brief history of just how God protected and delivered Israel in times past. And he wants them to continually remember this and not to forget who their God is and how he's provided for them. Back when God sent the plagues to Egypt, when he once again slew their firstborn, these plagues were not just random plagues that God sent to curse Egypt and Pharaoh. These plagues were specifically directed at different deities that Egypt had at the time. The river there, they treated it as a god. They had a river god. And what did God do to the river? Well, he turned it to blood red. He turned it to blood. Pharaoh was considered not only a king and a ruler, but a god. What did God do? God slew his firstborn son, the son that was to take his place and be the next god in Egypt. God was telling Pharaoh and the Egyptians, I am God. There is no other. And God did want to demonstrate to Pharaoh that God was above all else and that he was the only God. When it came down to the Red Sea, Pharaoh was still wanting to pursue Israel and take them back. And so what did God do? God performed the miracle where he split the Red Sea in two. One wall of water on the right, one wall of water on the left, dry ground in the middle, and they passed through. And I just wanted to read this miracle to you from Exodus. It says, "So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left." This is a miracle performed by God, and God was doing it to demonstrate to Israel, I care about you, I love you, and I'm going to be taking care of you. God not only continued to do this with Egypt, but as, oh, hold on, let me just say this. And then after Israel passed through and Pharaoh and his army was pursuing them, God allowed the water to come down on Pharaoh and his army and totally demolished them. And they all saw that God fought for them in that time. And then as they went into the promised land, they saw time and time after again with Joshua and with other leaders that they had, God destroying the armies. With Joshua, they saw the Battle of Jericho take place. I'm teaching right now the younger kids, 9 to 12 years old, and we just got done with a section in the book of Joshua, and we're going to Judges right now, but they destroyed the land of Jericho there. Then when they went to Ai, they had the ambush where God used that tactfully to destroy Ai. Then they had the five kings that came out against them. And God, he sent hailstones from heaven that killed many of those people. God also, during the same war, let the sun stand still so that Joshua and Israel could continue to fight and overcome this enemy. David here is reminding the Israelites in Psalms 136, give thanks to God for the things that he's done in the past. Don't forget who God is and take the time to remind yourself of this. During my time at custodial, there was something that my boss trained us leaders in, myself and the other GAs. He's just like, when you go into buildings to clean, don't clean for a thank you. And we were to tell our people below us that. Don't clean for a thank you, meaning that when you go into a building to clean, don't expect to get a thank you from everybody for taking their trash out, for cleaning the bathrooms in these various buildings. We would get some thank yous here and there. But on the most case, when we heard back from a building, it was more or less, you forgot to take out my trash, somehow you guys didn't clean out the bathroom properly, and we were being called back to clean up the place again. So she trained us, when you go in, do the job well, but don't do it for a thank you. You'll do it to serve them. God, though, is not the same in this case. When God does something for us, God does want us to say thank you, and he does want us to acknowledge him and to say thank you for this provision. Thank you for this protection. David is going to end this session now with saying, thank you, God, for choosing Israel to be your people. David says, God, thank you for choosing Israel as a nation. I'm going to read this last portion to you. It says here in this psalm, who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever, and rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever, who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. In Deuteronomy 7 through 8, Moses is rehearsing to the people, God didn't choose you for being a strong people. God didn't choose you for being a people with lots of people there amongst the nation. Moses says to them, the Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more numerous than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage and from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. We're going to get back to that word love in a moment. But God, he didn't choose Israel based upon them being many in number. He didn't choose them based upon that they were stronger than other nations. He chose them based upon his love for them and in fulfilling the promises that he made to their forefathers. In our lives, God wants us also to give thanks specifically for the things that he does to provide for us. And he wants us to continually remind ourselves, here's how God provided in the past, and here's how I can apply that to the present today. And as future goes on, God wants us to remember the things and ways that God's provided for us in the past. During this responsive reading, you guys have repeated a phrase that has been all the way throughout the chapter, and that is, for his mercy endures forever. Now, there's other translations that will translate that word mercy as love. For his love endures forever. The Hebrew word behind that word there is hesed, and this word goes through all the Old Testament, and it describes God's unconditional love, God's unfailing love. We don't deserve God's love, but despite that, God still chose to love Israel, and God still chooses to love us. And how does this fit in with giving thanks to God? Well, the great God who created the world, the great God who protects us, he loves us, and he cares about us. And that's what this is communicating throughout this passage, that the God who is out there, who is great and almighty, cares about each of our needs. 2 months into the internship, I began to sit down and think through the ways that God provided for me up until this point in time, and began to write them out. And I took the time to say, God, there's been a lot that's happened over these 2 months, and you get me up here, and you, help me with my car and other situations. And I took the time to say, thank you. And as time has gone on, there's been things that have been added to the list, but it's helped me get my perspective down of how God's taking care of me, who God is, and when I'm tempted to doubt, to look back on saying, God, you've been a great God, and you've proven yourself to me over and over again, and I know you're the same God right now. And that's what I'd like to leave you guys with as an application. This evening, before you guys go to bed, take out a pencil, a piece of paper, and write down 5 things that you know that God specifically provided for you. And take the time to thank God for these 5 things. Then 3 weeks down the road, or a month down the road, pull out this list again and say, God, thank you for meeting my needs in these specific areas. You may add to the list and once again thank God for it. Then 2 months down the road, say, God, thank you for these specific things in which you have done for me. And remind yourself, this is the God that I serve. This is the God that's provided for me in the past, and he'll help me in the present, and he's going to be there for me in the future. Why? Because God has mercy on us, and because God cares for us. God loves us. And that's what David's been trying to communicate through this passage. The God who created the heaven, who is almighty, the God who protects and provides protection for us and deliverance, this God wants to be personal with us. He wants to come where we're at and to meet our daily needs, and he wants us to acknowledge him in our lives. The Bible here commands us in the New Testament to give thanks in all circumstances, and in Philippians 4:6-7 it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." When we come to God and we say thank you for the ways you've provided here in the past, and we pull them up into the present and say, God, I've got a situation going on right now, but you've provided for me in the past, and I want to say thank you. God says that his peace will be with us there, even when we're going through the rough times. And God is there. I mean, looking back on my car situation, that was not a fun time, and I have to say this, but I did not respond the majority of the time there through the right way that I should have. But God was still faithful, and God still showed that I could trust him and provide for him. And God continues to teach me this lesson here with taking things for granted with my current full-time job that I have with Opportunity Partners. In this job, I help take care of people that are mentally disabled. These people can't function by themselves, and they're dependent upon other people to come into their lives and help them out. And in my job, I help them develop basic academic skills and basic work skills so they can be somewhat independent on their day-to-day living and hopefully get a job for themselves. Well, as I've worked with these people, and as I've read through their different medical histories in general, along with a mental disability, typically comes a physical disability as well. And as I interact with them, I see this taking place where some of them, they can't see. They're blind. Some of them, they can't walk. They need a walker or confined to a wheelchair. Some of them can't use their hands, and they have to be helped being fed. Some of them can hear, but they can't speak. Other of them can speak, but they can't hear. Or if they can hear, they can't hear quite well. And as I interact with these people, as I've read through the different histories, God's convicted me that I don't take the time to thank God. God, thank you for my eyesight. Thank you that I can talk and that I can hear and I can get to know people better. Thank you for my legs that I can walk around on. And this through this job, God's been teaching me this lesson once again in taking things for granted that I need to say thank you to God for the ability he's given me to see, the ability he's given me to speak, to hear. David opened this passage by saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy, for his love endures forever." And I'd like to challenge you this evening, take the time to write out 5 things that God has provided for you. Thank God for them. And then down the road, in the months to come, in the weeks to come ahead, pull this list out. Thank God again. And then as the months continue to go on, pull that list out and thank God again. David closes this passage here with the same message that he started out with. In verse 26, he says, "Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven for his mercy, for his love endures forever." Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you that you love us and that you are merciful. And I thank you that you are great, that you created the world, that you protect us, that you're almighty, that you hold creation together. But just because you're great doesn't mean that you're not personal, because your word says you are. And you want to come down and be a part of each of our lives. And you want to meet our needs. And you want to take care of us. And I thank you for that. Help me and help all of us to take the time to sit down to thank you for the abilities you've given to us, for the ways that you've provided for us, for the prayer requests that you have answered. And help us to remind ourselves to praise you in the weeks and in the months to come. In Jesus' name, amen.